Hi, I'm Reverend Norm Bouchard, Senior Minister of Center for Spiritual Living here in Colorado Springs. Welcome to our service. Thank you for being a part of our online community. We're excited to share with you today's service, and we invite you to let others know about our service as well and the inspiration that it brings in your life. You are joining with hundreds of other people from all around the world who gather virtually to be a part of our community. So I invite you to sit back, open up your heart, and enjoy our service. I'll be back with you at the end of our service to share with you other ways to uplift and create the best life yet. Enjoy our service.
I would like to introduce to you Reverend Michelle Scavetta. She's an assistant minister at Mile High. She's been on staff there for 15 years. And has been working with the youth ministry for over 16 years. She has two beautiful children. She's passionate about creating sacred space, healing, growth, and transformation. Let's give her a welcome from Colorado Springs.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be with you this morning, both in person as well as online. I have known Reverend Jen Wild for over 6 years. We actually graduated ministerial school together, and throughout that time, she has mentioned numerous times how much she loves this community and just how amazing you all are. And so I was just overjoyed when I received the invitation from Reverend Norm to be with you this morning, and I've known Reverend Norm for many years as well. And so being here is just a breath of fresh air. It's a new beginning. It's a new chapter. And so my understanding is that you've been focused on back to school as the theme for this month. Reverend Norm asked me to speak about lifelong scholars. To be honest, I didn't know what the heck that meant when I first read it. What does it mean to be a lifelong scholar? But when I sat with it for a while, what came to be is being a lifelong scholar is synonymous with being a lifelong learner, recognizing that all of the situations, all of the experience that we have throughout life has brought us to right where we are. All of our experiences have shaped and molded us into the people we are today. I think being a lifelong scholar is that journey of awakening, the journey of remembering who we are, remembering that we are divine beings and that we have a divine birthright. Just because our soul said yes to being here, we have a divine birthright, and we are worthy. I think being a lifelong learner, there's so many experiences throughout life, some that are joyous, some that are challenging. Sometimes we're just coasting through, but through it all, we're learning. And we're growing. So this quote from Rick Warren resonated with me when I was thinking about lifelong learning. He said, "Transformation is a process. And life, as happens, there are tons of ups and downs. It's a journey of discovery. There are moments of mountaintops and moments in deep valleys of despair." Can anybody else relate to that? Anybody else being on a mountaintop moment right now? Or know somebody who's on a mountaintop moment right now? Maybe you know somebody who's in the deep valley of despair. I know for me, especially the past 6 months, during this extraordinary time of pandemic, there have been moments when I have found myself in the deep valley of despair. And there have been moments where I've had to It took every effort that I had to bring my mind just to the present moment versus wondering about the what ifs or thinking about, oh, I wish we were back when, but coming to the present moment. And so to me, being a lifelong scholar, it is about all of the experiences. But here's the thing. Life happens in the present moment. So if we find ourselves caught up in what might be, or if we find ourselves caught up in, oh, I wish I was, we're not in the present moment. I get excited when growth opportunities happen around joyous and fun occasions. Maybe, you know, thinking about a time when you're in a brand new relationship, how fun that is. Or maybe you're starting a new job. Or maybe you've just moved to a new city. So there's a lot of unknowns, but there's an excitement in the air. Or perhaps there's a time when you or somebody close to you finds out that they're having a baby. Joyous moments that also have opportunities for learning and opportunities for growth. But I think oftentimes when we think about learning, think about growing, we often think about the challenging times. Maybe a time when we're in a crisis or a time when we're just uncertain and we don't know how it's going to unfold. We don't know when things are going to look up again. But it's during those challenging times, especially, that it creates the space for us to perhaps discover something new about ourselves. It creates the space for us to uncover a deeper strength, a deeper conviction, maybe a deeper level of faith. For me, one of my greatest times of growth happened when I was during childhood. I experienced many years of sexual abuse, and there were many a times where I felt all alone, and I didn't know where to turn. During those times, so I grew up Catholic, and so I remember praying to God at night, begging him. At that time, it was a hymn on a mountaintop with a long beard. I was begging him to make the abuse stop. But over time, as the abuse continued, I questioned, why would God allow this to happen to me? And the only conclusion, I came up with two scenarios. One, either God didn't exist, or the second, God had abandoned me. And I was on my own to figure it out. But there was this pivotal moment during my freshman year of high school. It was a couple of years after I had disclosed the abuse, after the authorities had been contacted, I'd started on my healing journey. And one of my teachers gave me a card. On the card was the story, Footprints in the Sand. Maybe you've heard of it, but the story goes like this. One night, I dreamed a dream when I was walking along the beach with God. And as we were walking, there were flashes of scenes from my life across the sky. There were both joyous times, challenging times, and I noticed that there were two sets of footprints as we were exploring the journey of my life. And as we got to the end of the journey, I looked back and I noticed that there were times in my life where there was only one set of footprints. And upon further reflection, I noticed that those times where there was only one set of footprints were the darkest times, the most challenging times of my life. And there was something unsettling about that. And so I turned to God and I asked him, why is it during the most challenging times of my life, there was only one set of footprints? Why during that turmoil would you abandon me? Would you leave me? And to which God responded, my precious, precious child, I never left your side. Those times when you only see one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. And in that moment, reading that story, everything changed. My perception of God changed, and my relationship with God changed, because what I recognized was that even though God wasn't able to stop the abuse from happening, God had given me the strength and the courage to persevere and to navigate through those dark times. And so have you ever experienced a time in your life where you've wondered, where's God in all of this? Or maybe you've wondered, why isn't God doing something? I think it wouldn't surprise me if some people had those questions during the last 6 months, during this pandemic. All of these losses, all of these challenges due to the pandemic, or during all of the social unrest that we continue to experience. Where is God in all of that? However, what if God has never left our side? And what if we're so focused on where is God in this that we're missing how God is showing up throughout these experiences? Throughout our life, we miss all of the times that God has shown up through individuals, through this spiritual community. God has shown up through prayer. Because we're so focused on how we think God should be showing up, we miss all of the miracles that are happening right in front of us. And so there's another story that I was reminded about. You may have heard about this story too. It's about a man who's sitting on his rooftop because there's a flood happening. I hear the chuckles, you know the story. And so this water is rising, and this man, he has faith. He knows that God is going to save him. And so here comes this rowboat. And the man in the rowboat yells up to the gentleman on the roof, and he says, come on down, I can save you. And the man on the roof says, no, it's okay, God's going to save me. So the man in the rowboat continues on his way. Then here comes another, these happen to be all men, I don't know why, we'll call it a woman. Here comes a woman in a rowboat. And the woman yells up to the man, come on down. You know, come on into the boat and I can save you. And the man on the roof says, no, it's okay. God's going to save me. And so the woman in the motorboat goes on her merry way. Then comes a helicopter. And the pilot in the helicopter drops down a rope. Here, climb up this rope and I can bring you to safety. And the man on the roof, no, God's going to save me. I have faith. And so the helicopter, the pilot, reluctantly went on their merry way and kept going. And meanwhile, the water is rising and rising. And this man on the roof drowns. And when he gets to heaven, he's eager for this opportunity to talk to God to find out what the heck happened. And so he asked God, he said, I had deep faith that you were going to save me. What happened? Why did you abandon me? And God responded, I sent you a rowboat, a motorboat, and a helicopter. What were you expecting? You know, so often we have this preconceived idea of how we think we are going to navigate the challenging times, how we think we're going to be able to get out of them or, you know, get onto the other side of them. And we miss all of the people around us who are offering their support, who are offering their guidance, because we're so clear of it has to look like this. And so throughout our journey, during the times of challenge, during the times of uncertainty, it is imperative that we look around, that we notice the people around us, because who knows? I imagine there may have been a time in your life, or maybe many times in your life, where you have been called, you have been guided to support somebody else on their journey. You were the rowboat, or the motorboat, or the helicopter. And so throughout our life, we gather tools, whether it's just from life experience learning, whether we've gone to school for some degree or another, whether it's, you know, just learning from a book. But oftentimes it's during the challenging times that we forget we have tools. Is anybody else? Or is that, maybe it's just me. A couple people have forgotten that they have tools. And so today I wanted to explore three tools that many of us have in our toolbox. I want to remind us of what they are and how powerful they can be. But first, a quote from Ernest Holmes. He says, "The evolution of man's consciousness brings with it the acquisition of new powers and higher possibilities." So as we learn and grow throughout life, greater possibilities, greater opportunities open before us. And yet it's still up to us to step into the ring and allow those possibilities to bless our lives. Because sometimes, some of us, an opportunity may be knocking, but we decide not to open the door. But what if that opportunity creates a new trajectory in our life and in our journey of awakening, our journey of remembering the truth of who we are? So the first tool in our toolbox is spiritual practice. Now, spiritual practice can look like so many different things. It can be coming to your spiritual community and listening to service, participating in service. It could be music. It could be prayer and meditation. Spiritual practice could be being out in nature, going for a hike. Or maybe it's just going for a drive. But the goal of spiritual practice is to bring our minds out of the world of conditions, to bring it back into the present moment, and to connect with the divine that is always there. So one of the spiritual practices that I like to do this mantra. And it's, I usually often use a quote from Ernest Holmes. And he says, "There's only one life. That life is God's life. That life is perfect. That life is my life now." And so I invite you to say these words, say this mantra with me 5 times. "There's only one life. That life is God's life. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. There's only one life. That life is God's life. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. There's only one life. That life is God's life. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. There's only one life. That life is God's life. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. There's only one life. That life is God's life. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. Just take that in. Breathe it in. And did you notice any shift that happened for you just reciting those words? Did you notice maybe a remembering? Or perhaps what you notice is that by focusing on those words, you were not distracted by the to-do list of later today or what happened this morning. By engaging in spiritual practice, we allow ourselves to come back to the present moment. So often, I've heard that when we're depressed, it's because we're focused on the past. And when we're anxious, it's because we're focused on the future. So spiritual practice gives us the opportunity to focus right here and right now. So the second tool in our toolbox is deep listening. Now it's connected with spiritual practice because oftentimes, perhaps in our prayer work or maybe during meditation or maybe even during journaling, deep listening is about creating the space to hear that still small voice within us, to hear our intuition that is constantly guiding us, that is constantly pointing to the direction of what the next perfect step is. Now, if you're like me, I like to know what the next 10 steps are. But more often than not, I get one step. And so deep listening, it's about turning up the volume of that still small voice so that we can hear a little clearer. And so that we can allow ourselves to be guided, knowing that God is supporting us in every moment. Knowing that the universe is conspiring for our highest good, here, now, and always. Deep listening, what I've noticed is that the more I do my spiritual practice, the more I create the space to listen, the louder that voice within is, and the more often I notice the voice, I notice my guidance throughout the day. When we create the space to deeply listen, really we're giving God permission to be a co-pilot in our life. We create room, we leave room for God to show up. Oftentimes, we have so many items on our to-do list, and we may often think that, oh, I don't have time for spiritual practice. I don't have time for journaling or just sitting in meditation. But what I've heard is that when we create that time, when we create that space, interestingly enough, all of the activities of our day seem to go unfold a little bit smoother. Now, it's probably just a coincidence. But I invite you to try it out and see what happens. I know when I create more space for spiritual practice and for listening, my day goes smoother. You know, any concerns I had prior to that moment, they seem to just, I'm able to just set them aside. And here's another reminder. A spiritual practice is, you know, our deep prayer work. And you may have heard the term treat and move your feet. So in our treatment work, we turn entirely away from conditions and we focus on what it is we are calling into our life in that moment. But it doesn't stop there. What we have to do next is we have to listen. Because when we put the universe in motion into what we want to create in our life, the universe's automatic response is, yes, okay, let's do that. And it guides us to the steps that we need to take in order to get to where we want to go. And so it goes hand in hand, spiritual practice, listening, creating the space for God to show up in our lives. And the third tool is reaching out for support. Oh, I don't know about you, but this one was not always easy. For me, somehow, I equated asking for help. I believe that was a weakness. And so it has taken me practice. It has taken me time to be confident, but to trust that there are people around me who are willing to support me right where I am. And lo and behold, when I ask for help, when I ask for support, he usually shows up. Again, it might not show up in the way that I was anticipating, but it shows up. Maybe somebody you know has a challenge with reaching out for support. Maybe they're not comfortable with it. So here's one thing that I discovered, or I was told, that just resonated. It kind of hit me a little sideways when I first heard it, because I love helping people. Does anybody else here love helping people? A few people. I'm sure there's people online who also love helping people. So if I love helping people, but I don't give other people the opportunity to help me, isn't that being selfish? You know? What if we were able to shift our mindset to recognize that asking for help, oh my goodness, it takes tremendous strength and courage to ask for support. But if we shift our mindset that by asking for help, we're giving other people permission and the opportunity to give back to us. I imagine that there are people here in the sanctuary, and I imagine there are even more people who are watching online who are willing to support somebody if somebody were to reach out to them. I know that this community has an amazing practitioner base, practitioners who are more than happy to support people along their journeys. But we have to ask for it. We have to reach out. Because nobody's going to know that we need support if we don't say something. And again, perhaps you can be that lifeboat for somebody else. But it's about paying attention. It's about recognizing that we're all on this journey of life. In one stage or another, we're all here to learn, to grow, to remember who we are. The blessing is that we're not alone. Because there are times in our life where we just don't know what's going to unfold next. But maybe somebody in our family or one of our friends, maybe they have an idea of how something might unfold, and they can help us navigate. So, as a lifelong scholar, three of the tools in our toolbox: spiritual practice, taking time each day to connect with the divine, to set aside all of our concerns, anything going on in the world of condition, and then allowing ourselves to tap in, to remember that God is right here in every moment, expressing itself in, through, and around each and every one of us. Deeply listen. As we connect within ourselves, listen for that inner guidance that you have, that you've received throughout your day. And just notice. It could be as simple as, take a left here while you're driving. You don't know why, but you take a left. That would be taking a right. It's okay. You're left. You'll be taking left. And who knows? Maybe by taking that left, you're going to miss an accident that happened before you got there. Perhaps your inner guidance encourages you to go for a walk, to be out in nature. And you listen to that guidance, and during your walk, suddenly you receive the information that you've been waiting for. Just intuitively, it downloads during your walk because you're listening. And our third tool, reaching out for support. Knowing that you are not alone on this journey and that there is an ocean of support readily available to you here, now, and always. But we have to reach out. Being a lifelong scholar, it's about remembering our divine inheritance, remembering that each and every person on this planet is connected, that we're here to support one another, we're here to learn, to grow, and to be the extraordinary blessings that we came here to be. Chadwick Boseman, in 2018, during a graduation address, he said, "Purpose is an essential element of you. It is the reason you are on the planet at this particular time in history. Your very existence is wrapped up in the things you are here to fulfill. Remember, the struggles along the way are only meant to shape you for your purpose." Being a lifelong learner, a lifelong scholar, is to remember that you are a divine birthright. You are a divine idea shot forth from eternity, here to make manifest the glory of God as you, right here, right now. Are you ready? Yeah. Let's turn within. Oh, Mother, Father, God, so grateful to recognize that this breath of life moves in, through, and around all of creation. There is no situation or circumstance where God is not, for God is the all-powerful. God is the very truth. God is the very heart of all that is, all that was, all that ever will be. And right here and right now, I know that this divine presence is expressing itself freely and effortlessly as me. Here, now, and always. That divine spark is the brightest light shining forth through me, lighting the way. And as I know this truth for myself, I also know this is true for each and every person in this room, each and every person that is hearing the sound of my voice. God is right where we are. And I am so grateful for this opportunity to know that there are opportunities for growth and expansion and evolution throughout our entire life. And as we open up to the possibilities, we know that all of these experiences shape and form and mold us into who we came here to be. And with that sacred yes, we are guided, we are supported in every moment. At the very time that we need it, that next perfect step is revealed. And we take that next step and the next step. I know that there are blessings that are unfolding in all of our lives beyond our wildest dreams. And as we open, we allow them to come into form. I am so grateful for all of the ways that each and every person here today shows up in the world, all of the gifts that we have come here to share. The world says yes to our gifts. And I just release this word knowing that as it is spoken, it is already done in the mind of God. I simply let go and I let God do God's work. And we anchor this prayer by saying, and so it is.
Thank you. And thank you, Reverend Michelle. I hope you all got the nuggets that I got today. What a blessing this day has been. So, now is the time for our offering. So I invite you to reach deep into your heart and know exactly why you were here today. And I invite all of you and our online community to give. So if you're online and you're seeing us on screen, there's a donate button up there. Please press that and you can donate. Our address is floating along the bottom of the screen. Or you can mail it in to us or give in our collections today. Either way, please put your hands over your heart and affirm with me. I joyfully celebrate the flow of God through me. I am grateful for receiving and giving to my spiritual community. I give thanks, always knowing God is my source, and so it is.
I hope you enjoyed our service and the message today. Thank you for attending today. We here at Center for Spiritual Living have a big, hairy, audacious goal, and it's to bring inspiration and positivity and to be the change we want to see in the world, but we need your help. By clicking on the donate button, your donation today will help empower us to take these powerful principles that have changed so many lives out into the world. Imagine living your best life without guilt or fear or hell or damnation. What if you knew that you are perfect just the way you are? You are filled with such goodness. What we know is that you have a spirit in you expressing itself uniquely as you. That's a message that our world so needs to hear at this time. I thank you for your donation. I also encourage you to check out some of our life courses here on the website. These incredible courses will give you the tools that you need to transform and continue to grow spiritually. You can do these courses at your own pace, and you'll be joining with hundreds of others who have said yes to expanding their lives. Thank you for being with us today. We look forward to your next visit with us.